storylines never slow down in the National Football League. Doug Peterson out as the head coach of the Eagles today. And to get into that, amongst some other storylines, we're joined now by longtime NFLer and NFL analyst from FS1. Here is Marcellus Wiley. Marcellus, the Eagles had not won a Super Bowl in their existence. Doug Peterson wraps one up for them a few years ago and then wakes up today and he's fired from Philly. 3 years post-Super Bowl. What does that say about security in the NFL for head coaches?
Yeah, man, that you have to know every team and every circumstance is different, because you just said that resume, and you would think that that resume is convincing enough to keep a coach even through a 4-11-1 season. But the problem is Doug Peterson, I think, got caught trying to be everything to everyone. And it's interesting how this all played out. He has a losing record if you look at him as a coach post that 2017 year. So I think this is really a situation where his plan A never really worked out, and he lost the support of the organization through that process and through the fact that he could never nail his plan A. Some people are saying, hey, with Frank Reich left, all of a sudden everything left. This was a 26th-ranked offense that this quarterback, who had a $128 million extension, had regressed to NFL historical low levels. So there's a lot to point at. But the interesting thing is, just in storyline, you got Carson Wentz. You draft him. You move up. Number two in the draft. You give up resources. And you got the guy. And then Carson Wentz is having an MVP-type campaign, obviously the injury. And then your plan A didn't work out. But then Nick Foles saves the day. You go to the next year. Nick Foles is called on once again to give a playoff push and to save the day. He comes up short, but once again, plan A didn't work. Then you go forward with Carson Wentz, who is starting his slight decline, but you still make the playoffs. He gets knocked out in the first quarter of a game. You lose that game. Once again, plan A doesn't work. And then this year they draft at that position, Jalen Hurts, and you stick with Carson Wentz in a division that was easily winnable. But you stuck with him for 12 games. He goes 3-8-1, regresses to a level we've not seen a quarterback do in so long, if ever. And then you put Jalen Hurts in, but here's the problem. So plan A didn't work again. Jalen Hurts is in there. He ends up going 1-3, and you give this team, this organization, a 9-month controversy to deal with because you yanked Jalen Hurts in the fourth quarter of a football game. I just think that he was on the fence with a lot of his decisions. I don't think that this offense was progressing properly. His quarterback certainly wasn't. And even though I don't blame him for every one of these circumstances, he is the common denominator. He was involved in every one of those mishaps. It just came to a point where I think that they lost confidence in him and they had to move forward.
Marcellus, what the hell was that in Pitt yesterday? Can you explain that? And what do you think it means for Ben moving forward? I know he's committed to playing next year. It didn't look like he could play, period, yesterday. Just explain what went down.
Man, I played 25 years. 10 professionally, 15 just trying to get to the pros. I have never in my life participated or witnessed a game where the first play from scrimmage was a touchdown basically for the other team in that fashion. Just a poor snap over the head. It took me back to that Denver Super Bowl with Seattle, but Seattle was a real team, so you're like, okay, I kind of get it. But this was just unreal how much they spotted a Cleveland team that they had owned in terms of Baker Mayfield being the quarterback of that same Cleveland team. Baker Mayfield never won a road game in Pittsburgh. You had tremendous confidence in Pittsburgh, but it's interesting that the last week when they sat the starters after they won in Indianapolis, I knew it and I said it. I was like, there's a rest versus rust conversation that I think Mike Tomlin is making a mistake. You don't rest a team that was struggling like they did in December. This is a team now that was 11-0 that ends up losing 5 of its last 6 ball games. And that's a problem. So I just think really they took their eyes off the prize, their foot off the gas pedal, and basically didn't come out as sharp as they wanted. And despite spotting Cleveland 28 points in the first quarter, they tried to rally and make it a game. And they actually outscored Cleveland the next three quarters, 37-20. But No way, no how, in any level of football have I ever seen you spot a team so much, so fast, especially when you're supposed to be the superior team. So what is Big Ben going to do? I don't think his last memory wants to be of him walking off a field, giving up a game like he did in that game yesterday. But I remind everyone, Dan Marino, the Dan Marino, his last game was a 62-7 loss in the playoffs. So if Dan Marino could walk off into the sunset with such a poor performance, who's to say that Ben Roethlisberger wouldn't do the same?
With Marcellus Wiley, and there were so many different storylines over the weekend, a lot of them positive in nature. The Bills finally get a win. Cleveland gets a win. Lamar Jackson gets a win. Yet for me, it is hyper-focused to two specific coaching blunders where the coaches had no stones and they decided to punt the ball away. Tomlin last night, where I'm not sure it was going to matter anyway. I'm not sure Pittsburgh was truly going to catch Cleveland, but it's 4th-and-1. They got it down to a two-score game, and they had him on the ropes, and they punt. And sure enough, Cleveland goes down, puts 6 on the board, and the game is over. But even worse than that, because the game was even closer, was Mike Vrabel deciding to punt on 4th-and-2 on Baltimore's 41-yard line, down a touchdown with like 6 minutes to go. And yes, Derrick Henry was not chugging yesterday. He was not chugging. He was struggling. But still, prior to that game, this guy did something that only 7 other players in history have done. You're telling me you can't hand the ball off and pray that he can pick up 2 yards?
No kidding.
I mean, it's shocking to me the fact that Vrabel punted and Tomlin punted. As a defensive player, do you appreciate the pressure that comes with that? Like, okay, defense, we didn't get it. You got to go get us a stop, and then we're going to go for it again. Or do you look at that as just a greasy, gutless move by the coaches and it just simply can't happen in modern football?
Yeah, I err more on that it was gutless in those situations. I get the trust you have in your defense, but it also shows a lack of trust you have in your offense, and I think that needs to be understood. The greatest defense is a greater offense, you know, in terms of just putting points on the board, keeping the chains moving. Like, not a defender in the world thinks that the best defense will beat the best offense. It just doesn't happen that way. Because I've been on number one scoring defenses, number one total defenses. And even if you give up 7 points, that's a tremendous outing in the NFL. Giving up 17 points is a tremendous outing. You can lose ball games to an offense that can light up the scoreboard. So you got to always keep that in mind, kind of the short-term versus long-term goal, the present versus the future, and try to really – deal with that duality. And I just thought in both situations as well, they played it scared. And we all know that scared money doesn't make any money. So this was a situation where they really cut themselves off and undermined their efforts. Even as a defender, I was shaking my head like, you need to risk it if you want the biscuit.
Well, I love that saying. And you look ahead to next week where the Bills win their first playoff game in 25 years, held on for dear life. You know, Frank Reich and the Colts, you know, they kind of allowed them to pick up that W as much as Buffalo decided we're going out and taking it. I thought they played well, but they can play a lot better than that. And then Lamar Jackson, on the flip side, he ran extremely well. I didn't think he threw the ball that well yesterday. When you look ahead to that game, Baltimore at Buffalo, who do you trust more to figure that out? Is it Baltimore or will it be Buffalo?
Yeah, this is going to be a fun one, man, because obviously Buffalo has my heart. I was drafted there. I played 4 years there. Love the Buffalo Bills up and down. But I really root for the Ravens in terms of how they play and how they find ways, because you're right, it's so unconventional at times. It's Lamar Jackson yesterday just finding a way despite it not looking good in traditional passing ways. So how is it going to play out? That will that you saw from Baltimore yesterday is a tough opponent. But the skill level of Buffalo is going to be a tough opponent as well. But I learned in football, man, it's a great game of skill, but it's a greater game of will. So this is going to be highly contested. I'm going to need the entire week to read if someone's going to get bulletin board material, Juju Smith-Schuster style. Is someone going to have COVID break out in the facilities and shut it down, Cleveland Brown style? So many factors before kickoff that's going to play into this and my analysis of it. But Josh Allen got a monkey off his back as well as Lamar Jackson. And it's interesting, two quarterbacks from the same draft class that have really lit it up. Baker Mayfield doing well as well. it's just going to be fun to watch these guys. But if I had to bet right now, I would give Buffalo the slight edge. But, God, you do not want to play the Ravens because their off-script game is second to none. When the play breaks down, that's when the plays start for the Ravens.
Marcellus, we were talking about Deshaun Watson earlier and his contract, and I mentioned it. It's like if somebody gave me $156 million, I would promise just to show up and be quiet and work hard every day. This guy seems unhappy, and I can see why he's unhappy. He lost his number one target. The team's garbage this year. How do you see this playing out? I mean, does he ultimately leave, or do they patch things up? How's the Deshaun Watson story finish in Houston?
Yeah, this is not the NBA, so I don't think you force your way out necessarily. Look, you can make it uncomfortable for everybody because you're not happy, but I don't think it plays out that way. I think Deshaun's of higher character than that as well. I think it plays out where they try to really find stability in this organization and try to give him resources to play with. But you got to be mindful that Deshaun learned a lesson in life that we all have to learn at different levels. There's a difference between money and power. Now, Deshaun gets the biggest check on the team, but that doesn't graduate you to a place where you have power. Now, Deshaun wanted to be a part of the conversation, part of the hiring process. But it's interesting, he wanted to be a part of the process, but not a part of the decision-making because he said he knew that they were going to make the ultimate decision. Well, if I'm the person in power, Cal McNair, or ownership, why do I have to give you the understanding of what we're doing if you're not going to be a part of the decision-making? So as we say in the locker room, say it with your chest. And if Deshaun Watson really wanted to flex because he was the highly paid quarterback and a top five quarterback, you need to flex. But it came off as almost half pregnant. Like he wanted it, but he didn't think he could get it. And he knew he couldn't ask for it. So he just settled while being unhappy. So a lot to discover in this offseason. A lot's going to happen before they get started again next year. But right now, I think the dust is going to settle. And they're just going to try to draft well and get some good free agents to help them out.
Yep, I think you're probably right on that. The drafting will be tough, though. They don't have the first or second round pick. Things, it's going to be heavy lifting down there in Houston. But when the dust settles, if you still have Deshaun Watson, it's a pretty good starting point. Great stuff, buddy. As always, we'll do it again next week. Thank you for this.
All right, guys. Take care up there, brother.
You got it. Marcellus Wiley from FS1, longtime NFLer.